But that's only 20% of winning. The other 80% is up here. It's in your mind. Now, when Newt Rockne said to Notre Dame, the team that won't be beat can't be beat, that does not apply to football players. There are certain physical attributes that you have to win an athletic event. Newt Rockne notwithstanding. Of course, those Notre Dame players weighed more than the other players that they were, even in those days. In boxing, in football, in baseball, basketball, and sporting events like that, you do have to have certain... They do a lot of this mental stuff, like Muhammad Ali, he psyched himself with fighting, visualized winning it. But you still have to have some physical skills. The beauty of this field is you don't have to have them. How many of you think that the people who win the most have high IQs? Well, you're smarter than I thought you were. I thought you were pretty smart, but isn't it kind of a... Have you ever heard yourself say, yeah, but I'm not as smart as he is? Any of you said that? How many of you said, yeah, but I only went to high school? Or you got to be a PhD to understand so-and-so. Baloney. You know the average IQ of the best winners that I ever taught? 110. You know what's wrong with the people with high IQs? They know it can't be done. The higher the IQ, the tougher it is to teach it. Do you think I have a high IQ? I don't have a very high IQ. My IQ is nowhere near my bluff. I act like I'm smart, but I'm not smart. I'm not nearly as smart as 60% of the people in this room have a higher IQ than I do. I know that 90% of you have a higher IQ than Schmidt, and he wins more money than any of us. It is not how smart you are, it's not how many years you went to school, it's all in your attitude. The truck drivers who helped me start this methodology had an average IQ of 101. There were 39 of them, 33 of them went on to be winners at a professional level. Six of them were recidivists. By recidivists, I mean that you couldn't teach them it. They refused to believe it. They believed in the myths and the superstitions and all that stuff that some of you came in here with. It's fixed. And my track's different. I had one guy, he couldn't convince him that it wasn't fixed, that they all didn't get together in the night before the race. And this jockey said, well, tomorrow the fifth race is yours. The other guy said, I'll give you the seventh. And they tossed coins and the trainers. Hey, there's no way to cure people who believe that. And the only reason, have you ever known a winner to believe that the races were fixed? I'm a consistent winner, unless he was fixing them. Not one of our people subscribes to that. And of course, you know it's human, so it has to go on to a degree. You know that there's some truth in all this, but our people just completely ignore it. You talk about trainers. How many of you who are winning ever found a pace line worthy of using where the horse wasn't adequately trained? Anybody? The pace line tells you whether the horse is adequately trained or not. Not the trainer's name. The story about Huey Moll. When he was doing it professionally before he got so sick he couldn't do it anymore, he was too smart. He knew all the trainers, knew the jockeys' names, knew all that stuff, and he started losing. So he had his wife sniff out the date of the last race, the trainer's name and the jockey's name, and the odds that it went off at, and he started winning again. I never look at the date. That's why in Howard, that's why you take a race. I won a big exact at Saratoga. The horse had raced in August. This was 1989, and he had raced in August of 1988. And I said, boy, look at that baseline, August. He didn't win. He came in second. He keyed a big exact. All this stuff that you read about, go back to the statement about the Eldorado, that you do just the opposite of what the experts are doing, you can win. Know what the losers do. You know how easy it is to know what the losers do? Go to the book, go to the racetrack, and just hang out. Do like Marion said, listen. That's what the losers are doing. If you find yourself doing the same thing, then you're going to join the company of losers. So what we want to do, I don't want to change anybody's mind. If you say, that sergeant's full of crap, you don't know. He's just up there saying all that stuff. And those teachers of his, they don't know. They don't know. They've never been to my track. My track's different. We've been to about every track in North America, just about. We don't know that it can't be done. So So there's your problem. If you have a real high IQ and you know it can't be done, well, it's in the Bible and it's in Shakespeare. That which we fear the most will most surely befall us. So if you fear losing, you're going to lose. The fear of losing begets losing. So attitude is the most important thing. You'll meet a lot of seasoned people here, but you have a chance as beginners. This is not brainwashing. We're not trying to wash your brain. We're trying to cleanse brains that are already awash in misinformation, in mythology. The axioms of racing that are accepted by the general public are myths. They have no basis in fact. And that's the only reason this methodology works, is because in the beginning, I want you to put yourself in my place. You've got people who have just been convicted of crimes. You don't know anything. That's the best way to start. I didn't know a thing about racing. And they're sitting in front of you. They've all been convicted of crimes, and they're capable of hell. They've already been convicted. What's one more murder or something, you know? And they're saying, okay, tell us how to do it. And kind of aggressive about it, too. So picture yourself in a situation where you know nothing, and you're teaching people who think they know everything. They're losers. They've been subject to going to the penitentiary for the crimes they committed in gambling-related felonies. They get prohibitional driver's licenses, providing they go into therapy. So now you're going to show these people how to win, and they know everything. That's hostility, folks. That's resistance. Now you may have some resistance, you may have some hostility, but at least you're not going to go to the penitentiary. So if you want to have resistance and hostility, that is your privilege. If you want to say, these guys are giving us a bunch of crap, that's your privilege. But who's going to lose? We're already winning. So we're not going to lose if you resist this. And if you go away saying, oh, I can't. And I've heard a lot of grumbling over the years. All you can do is become winners if you're not winners now. If you're winners now, God bless you. All you can do is get a little better. But I want to urge you to think in terms of erasing from your minds all these mythological things that are standing between you and your success. What could be happier than a Marion Jones up here, making you all laugh and be delighted? What portrait did he present? Certainly not an actor playing the part. That's a genuine person. Why is he so happy? Because he's free and he's winning. You'll see a lot of other happy people. Glenn Conley. This is no horse player. This is no sign of the top of the mountain with him in a plaid coat horse player. This is a man from a dignified profession who taught Pentagon generals. All these people came from walks of life in which they were very successful, and they chose to become handicappers because it fulfilled something that they didn't get in their other occupation. And all of them to the man will tell you that they gave up the attitude they had when they came into this organization and adapted a new one. So if nothing else, the man who said, you changed my life, many people say that, we changed their lives because they changed the way they looked at life. You have, the choice is yours. We'll go into this meeting tonight, hopefully knowing as much as anybody else. To make sure of that, before we break up, does anybody have any questions regarding the kind of thing that you need to know to be up to the level of those who are not beginners? Feel free to ask them.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Which books in town are connected to the track?
Well,
does anybody know that?
Yeah, we know generally the Barbary Coast, the Gold Coast, the Hilton, the MGM, the...
Do they all pay the exotic bet?
Now, if it's a house bet, if it's quinella, that's a house bet, and they have a limit.
Right.
But in each one of them, they will tell you whether they're a pari-mutuel or whether they're what they call a something book.
Okay.
Most of them advertise that they're
pregnant. Yeah. I'll tell you how you can find out is to, there's a little thing called sports form that they give away. You find it all around here, and it lists the ones that are paramutual and the ones that are not. But that won't be your problem. Sunday, what you want to do now is you won't bet enough, hopefully, you won't start off betting enough to worry them. If you're going to stay for a while, then find out where the paramutual ones are. Yes, sir.
I have a phase three.
Uh-huh.
And I absolutely have no idea what the hell's going on. I don't know what you're trying to do. I don't know how to run it. I don't know how to run a computer.
How long have you had it?
3 years. I used it one time, and I don't know what the hell is going on with it.
Well, are you really dedicated, aren't you?
Yeah.
Listen. Okay, there are going to be 12 people here. 12 teachers. There are 12 teachers here. What you really want to do is to get with Spencer. He's a wonderful guy. There he is. Get with him privately for 20 minutes with your computer. You got it with you?
I don't have it with me. It's got this
white. Well, that doesn't matter. Especially you got phase three on yours?
Oh, okay.
Or the mashup, something.
Another thing I'm asking, do you have a calculator or something that you purchase that I can take to the track with me, or
we don't sell them, but we have a man who can get them for you wholesale.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to find out. We
have handheld, the Sharp makes a handheld computer.
Yeah,
but see, we'll give you all the...
One of your pirates that you're talking
about. Yeah.
This guy, he's over here in Vegas.
Chuck Swope? Chuck Swope?
Or Rome or something.
Oh, doesn't matter. We got a lot of pirates.
Anyway,
okay.
This guy's only a program. It's almost like...
Okay.
I mean,
at least you're taking the step. You're taking this one first step. You could have done it 3 years ago, but I mean, I'm not going to criticize you. Okay, get with Spencer. Spencer has all the answers about where you can get a wholesale computer, where you can get a... But the first step, you got to take it in your mind, is are you going to become a little more dedicated than you were for the last year?
I've been trying to be dedicated,
okay,
but
get
I
with Spencer.
Through the damn computer. I mean,
right, you get with Spencer.
And
don't ask him what time it is. We're going to tell you how to build a watch. Yes, sir.
I took notes on all your definitions. I've read your case makes the race book, but that's as far as I've gone to phase one. So the definition you went through, I wasn't able to absorb them. Am I going to get lost in the discussion coming up?
No.
To read something?
No, but you should know this terminology because, did you read Brohammer's book too?
No, I didn't.
Incidentally, the Gambler's Book Club, if you write down the name Garland on your sheet. That's my middle name. Gambler's Book Club, which is at 11th and Charleston, I'll make this announcement again, will sell you any book if you give the code name Garland, 10% off. So I would get Brohammer's book, too.
What address is that?
11th and Charleston. East Charleston. Yeah, but if you get on Charleston, it's 11th and Charleston, that's the most likely street you'll be on. Yes, sir.
Are you going to have programs here to buy?
We're going to have the opportunity to buy them. We're not going to sell you a program here. And let me tell you why. We're not us. I know Sprint Rogers, for instance. He goes to a seminar, and he sits at one table with all his merchandise piled up there, and his wife gets out and simulates everything, and they buy. And he sells and makes a lot of money. If I sell you a program here, unless you prearranged to have me bring it, you get all excited at this seminar, and you start spending money, and then you get home and say, what the hell did I do this for? We want you to be sure. We want you to have as much enthusiasm down the road a week or 10 days or whatever as you have. We'll take your order.
Okay.
And we send it to you. But we want you to think about it. We don't want you to rush in and buy something just because it's there. That's what hustlers do. If we didn't make any money at the track, we would hustle you. But we do, so we don't. And with this, you got to remember, this is a therapeutic organization, not a handicapping organization. We went into this as therapy, wind therapy, but not to peddle a bunch of handicapping stuff. He may get just as much out of phase one as he gets out of the remission. Who knows? It's all in the mind of the beholder and what you can handle. We'll talk about that. Nobody should be recommending to you a best program. You see them all in action. Make up your own mind. If you decide you want to buy it, bless you. If you don't, bless you equally. That's not how we... We're trying to limit the number of people with advanced programs to 1,000. A paid one, anybody can have. Because it's in a book. Any other questions? Good. Yes, sir.
Where can I find forms at?
Racing forms? Any book will have a racing form.
Other than a book. Is it a bookstore?
Very few drugstores or anything sell them in Las Vegas. Anybody here from Las Vegas?
Yeah.
These gentlemen will help you out.
There's a newsstand down there.
Get with him and he'll tell you where. But any of these joints have them, and sometimes they don't come out as early as you'd like them to because they're afraid to get the information just soon you might win.
They have
But you're going to be working your tail off tomorrow, so don't be worried about going to any races Sunday, yeah. But you're going to be doing races tomorrow that to teach you how to do them Sunday. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
What about the Belmont?
The Belmont tomorrow will break it. It comes out about 5:30.
2:30 our time.
2:30 our time. That's 5:30 their time. Okay. Well, we'll try to break. If you want to watch the Belmont, usually we hold them in places. You might have to go to your room for the television.
Yeah,
2:30. We'll make sure you can watch the Belmont.
You go with Belmont.
No. Now, we have a select bunch of races from all over the country that we've done, and we're going to go over with you in detail on them.
Should we bring our computers?
You can do whatever you want. You can use them or not use them. Actually, the best way to do it is to perceive what the people who are presenting these races perceive, and then it's getting the contenders, folks, is the most important thing. The computer will take care of all the rest of it if you put the right horses in and the right pace lines. The computer does a marvelous job, but garbage in, garbage out, too. If you fool around, that'll be our big exercise tomorrow morning. And we'll arrange so people can go to, find somebody who's in a hotel if you're not, go to their room, congregate around set somewhere. We'll break for the Belmont. We'll get the time from this week. Yes, sir.
Will we go through the special relationship I've heard of between phase one as a contender selector and Thrillmation?
Yep, and it's really not anything special. You just put, Connolly's got him in all of his races. My son's got him in his races. One of the others has Bruce Jorgensen, not Connolly, has him. Yes, sir.
Are you saying it's best not to bring a computer?
It's optional. Here's a problem I would perceive. If one of man sits up there and tells you all the insights and all the things he does, but you're looking at the same race he is and he's telling you what he's doing, if you're putting it into a computer, you're not hearing his secrets, his techniques. So I would say that the computers come later. Then you might want to take them. We're going to give you the races and the answers. We got two manuals. One's 178 pages with the solutions in it, and the other is 33 pages with just the races. You'll get that tonight. If you want to go to your room, if you have nothing better to do in this dull town, run races through your computer, you can do that tonight, and then you'll see what you came up with. That's optional. Any other questions? And ask them now, because I want you to be fully up to speed with these people tonight. Although most of you are here. Sit in a different place with you tonight, so I look like I'm looking at some new faces. Any other questions? You all have to go to the bathroom, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay, folks, if you have no further questions, we'll see you at 6, about 5:30, register with the lady at the door. Thank you very much. Anybody who's not here, please raise their hand and we'll wait for you. Not all there yet. Welcome to the 12th annual semi-annual Las Vegas seminar. We started coming here in 1983, and some years we come here three times, some twice, so I suppose if you add them all together, that's what, 9 years times 2.5? That's 18, 19, 20 some odd seminars we've done in Las Vegas. And we're very happy to have all of you. How many of you here are newcomers, brand new to the method? I think we have about 30 some odd, which is the most newcomers we've ever had to the method, and that's partly due to the influx
of interest caused by the immortal Tom Brohammer and his pioneering work, Modern Pace Handicapping, and in the second book, Pace Makes the Race, by Hamilton Schmidt et al. We like to have fun at these seminars as well as learn. And one of the good ways to break the ice is to try to reward the people who have served us and served you the best over the year. Now, if we gave an award to everybody, even though everybody should deserve an award, it would diminish the value of the award. So each Las Vegas seminar, we give an award for some outstanding achievement. This doesn't mean that people who don't get awards haven't been outstanding, but it means that the ones who do get them have been especially outstanding. Is Glenn Connolly here? Because I'm not going to give an award to Glenn Connolly if he's not here. Sit down, I'll tell you when. How many of you are aware that we have a thing called a follow-up? That's a terrible thing to call it a thing. It's actually one of the foremost journals in the industry. And it's edited by Dick Schmidt. When we first started it, all of our brilliant literary geniuses said, "Well, boy, that'll be fun. I'll write for it." Brohammer's written for it three times. Because with the money he gets for writing for William Morrow, I mean, you don't understand why. But occasionally, the members and the teaching members and just the clients will write an article of special brilliance, or they'll show some special insight. And others will comment it and say, "Boy, that was one of the greatest pieces of handicapping literature I ever wrote." So for the last year, for 1991, the most outstanding article produced in the follow-up by any other than the editor and the publisher was done by Glenn Connolly. I'm sure you all read it. It was a brilliant piece of work. Glenn, here is your award, 1991 Best Article Follow-Up, Glenn Connolly. You thought I was joking, didn't you? And that means you've got to write some more. As you all know, a year ago, we had not only an awards banquet honoring Tom Brohammer, but we gave him a giant-sized trophy. We'll never give away that one expensive again, but we gave him a giant-sized trophy for the best contribution to the literature of handicapping for 1991. But in the world of handicapping, it's, "What have you done for us lately?" So here in 1992, we have two awards to give. You're just a has-been tonight, Tom. Thoroughbred Handicapping Best Book Award of 1992, Pace Makes the Race. Author number one, Tom Hamilton. As you look at Tom, you'll know why his name had to be put in such big letters. You want to say a little something there?
Gosh.
Your only chance to speak for the whole seminar.
I'm really flattered, actually. This is really a total surprise. Howard never stops the people. Howard gave me this assignment in 1989 to write this book, and he thought it was going to be one of our soft cover manuals that we could sell at seminars and whatever, and I thought we could make it better than that, and I set out to do that, and I'm really proud of the work, and I've had a lot of feedback from a lot of people all over the United States. It's been very, very helpful to a lot of people, and most of all, it's been really helpful to myself in my own personal life. Achieving something like that for someone like myself, it's a great achievement, doing the work and following through on it. And I'm really flattered. Thank you very much. Thank you, Howard.
That ends it for humility for tonight, because the next award goes to the co-author of the Thoroughbred Handicapping Best Book Award of 1992, Pace Makes the Race, Dick Schmidt.
Wow. Hey, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, it doesn't even say who gave it to me, so I can put this up on the wall and, oh yeah, it's from the Publishers of America or something like that. You know, they don't need to know that the other author gave it to me. We just give each other trophies. Thank you very much. That's really all I have to say. I hope most of you have read the book, because I really think that if not, it happens to be on sale at the back of the room. Oh, what a coincidence. I'm really proud of the work that we all did. And it's unusual to produce something that really, you know, you're going in with high hopes, and usually you go in with really high hopes on something, and then you settle. You settle for good enough. On this book, we went in with really very, very high hopes, and we didn't have to settle. The book came out exceeding all of our expectations. And I'm really glad that those who have read it have universally liked it. And I thank you very much for this award. Thank you very much.
And the spelling and misprint errors exceeded all of our expectations, too. However, we did put out a second edition, and the major mistake in the second edition is in my preface, in which I explain how we've corrected the mistakes in the first edition. And right in that same paragraph when I'm telling how we corrected the mistakes, my beloved editor had to make a mistake. But it shows character. You remember, this method started off by my doing all the typing on the misspelling, and it sort of gained a reputation for misspelling and typical errors and typographical errors. And Schmidt really, he really just wanted to carry on that tradition. So all those in there are just, they're really on purpose. This is a very serious award. This man has won an award before. And this is a... I'm not going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to ask you a question before I give it out. The most significant technological advance in thoroughbred handicapping, and it spans the years from 1910 to 1993. I'm serious about this. Now, what was the chief technological advance between 1900 and 1910? Anybody know? The stopwatch. No, seriously. From 1900 till 1910, the stopwatch was the most advanced technological instrument in handicapping. Pittsburgh Phil, with the use of the stopwatch, revolutionized handicapping the first time. But his era passed in about 1910. Since 1910 through at least next year, the most significant technological advance in thoroughbred handicapping goes to Jim the Hat Bradshaw for Thoroughmation. Cry a little.
Thank you, Howard. You wouldn't give me an award that I couldn't pronounce. Thank you.
I guess these guys are preparing their speeches for later. That's as short as any of them have ever talked. We have one last award. And if you all recognize the Oscar here, don't you? We had to get permission from the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Science to reproduce this Oscar, because that represents stellar performances in the entertainment, especially the acting industry. We don't forget our has-beens. This award says, Sarton Methodology, 1991-92, Stability Award, to Tom Brohammer for the best performance, remaining humble, though famous. There's your Oscar. You always wanted one.
Thank you, Howard. Yeah. I do have some comments on this. The ladies, please leave the room. This does hit a chord, because we were talking about that today. My wife and I, some time ago, were in Cabo San Lucas, and we hooked on with a group of people led by a young man. And as I recall, his name was Art. Pretty sure it was Art. Anyway, he was about 30 years old, going on 15. had more energy than any 30-year-old you ever saw, and was about as naive as a 15-year-old. And he organized this group of people, and we made the rounds of several of the restaurants and several of the bars in Cabo. He organized a fishing trip for marlin. And after the first day or so, he began to treat me with an awful lot of respect, more so than anyone else in the group. Well, I was not the eldest in the group, so I had a little trouble figuring all of that. So we're around the bar at the Hotel Solmar, big group of people, and somebody says, "Oh, Art's got so much respect for you." Well, great. I mean, I'm misbehaving like everybody else. What's this all about? He says, "Well, he thinks you're just one of the greatest guys he's ever met. It's just unbelievable what you do." I said, "You want to explain that one to me?" And he said, "Well, yes." He said, "For you to devote as much time as you do to the handicapped, he thinks that's the greatest thing you ever saw." So I spent, not that you aren't, no. Let me bleed all over my trophy. So I spent at least 10 minutes bursting Art's bubble and explaining to him what degenerates we all are as handicappers, not handicapped. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Did you have Schmidt involved in this?
No, he knew nothing of it.
Because remaining is supposed to have two eyes in it.
What does it say?
Remaining humble.
Is that spelled right?
No. Now you know. Now you know. Work to me this way. Trust me on that.
Well, your friend, I know some of your friends, they won't know either. Our schedule of this seminar is going to be completely different than any we've ever had before. We're going to do what we call handicapping in the round. Starting tomorrow morning, bright and early, we will have the races that you got in this manual. I have no solutions to them. They're just plain old races. No answers, no winners, no results charts, no readouts. Then you will, and I will have a portable microphone in which I can, when you ask a question, we will interchange and with the persons who supplied these races, who supplied them, and each teacher will make comments on the race in support of the other teachers, how he would have done it. So you get the full gamut of how all these people will handicap a race from start to finish, and it won't always be the same. And when you have a question, I will roam around the audience and poke a microphone in your face so that it'll be heard. Then, tomorrow, after all this is done, we will give you the other giant manual, 178 pages, in which all the rationale, all the readouts, and all the results from their work will be produced. So if you want to play with this, I say play loosely, if you want to get some preview of it tonight before you go to bed, if you don't have anything else to do in this dull town, you might want to do that. And it'll be fun. And here's the manual you'll get as your reward. That's the biggest seminar manual we've ever put out at great expense. Incidentally, Joe Ray's tapes and these manuals will be made into a separate package. You won't particularly care for them because you'll have already heard the seminar and you will have had the manuals already for nothing. But if your friends want to know what went on at the seminar, and this should be the best package we've ever had, we're going to, for the first time, put a manual and the tapes together. So instead of just listening to the tapes and wondering what they were looking at, you'll get to see what they were looking at and hear the tapes. We have a number of wonderful teachers here. Sam Watt, are you here? Where's Sam? My goodness, Sam's never... I'm worried about that. Did you call his home or something? Well, maybe he'd be here tomorrow. I hope he is. But Sam Watt is our newest teaching member. I wanted to introduce him, but he's not here right now. He made a pact with me that he would teach all we wanted as long as I didn't make him get up and make a speech. Boy, you've heard some of these guys, haven't you? What a marvelous thing to have a teaching member who doesn't want to make a speech. I can remember when all these fellows were in there. I can remember when Bradshaw used to get up and make a speech, and his foot would shake, and he'd be off the stage almost as fast as he went on. Now you've got to have a hook to get any of them off the stage. They've all become accomplished public speakers along with becoming public accomplished handicappers. Maybe it goes hand in hand or something. But some of you haven't met are here too. And I'd like to bring them on right now, introduce themselves. I hate to introduce Bruce Jorgensen because last time I said, do 3 or 4 minutes, Bruce, and explain how you weren't always a winner, how you learned to be a winner. Just kind of support these people. And you remember that show with the Mary Tyler Moore show with that Ted... And he said, it all began at a little 250-watt radio station in Fresno, California. And he proceeded to go for a half hour on his life story. Well, Bruce, he outdoes old Ted Knight. So, Bruce, with great trepidation, I would like to introduce you to this group and maybe do 3 or 4 minutes on how you were born a winner, how you became a winner. And boy, he's coming up here. He went to college. He got a master's degree. He was a colonel in the army. They wouldn't take him back to Arabia, but he did the Korean thing in Vietnam. And he's a war hero. And he rescued all those people from Mount St. Helens and took Jimmy Carter up in an airplane.
Nothing else left to say. Thank you, Art. Hey, all I got to say is the methodology is just great. And do your work, do your homework, and study. You know, after a while, winning just becomes a habit. Wednesday night, I was sitting in a book in Reno. I was all by myself and listening to those poor guys that go to that book every day and all of that baloney they were telling each other while I went 5 for 5 and doubled my bank. Hey, guys, listen and do, and you'll do well. Thank you.
How come you wouldn't do that in Seattle when we were pressed for time? Tonight we got a lot of time.
The Colonel will be back with chapter 2 of that. That's his... another fellow, we talked this afternoon, you newcomers here, and we were talking about doctors and lawyers and accountants and engineers and people from these higher callings, many of you coming from. And we also said that, hey, we have more trouble teaching those kinds of people than we have teaching the original group I had, which was comprised of truck drivers. And we have a man with us who is, for many years, was a truck driver. He also was a pilot. And he was flying his plane one day, and he was going to land, and somebody else got dibs on the same landing place. And they had a ground-air collision in which this man lost his leg. He'd get up and finish third, however. And while he was in the hospital, undergoing the amputation and the learning and the rehabilitation, someone said, hey, you ought to take up something to do. You're not going to be able to do all that active work anymore. Find something that's challenging where you can make an income to replace that which you're not going to get driving trucks. And that person happened to be interested in horse racing and happened to be a member of our group. So they took him all of our stuff. And while he was recuperating, with no outside help, a man who had never seen a race or a racing form, became such a consistent winner that we had no choice but to reward him as he had rewarded us by getting up and finishing third and becoming a winner. And we made him a teaching member, and he's really a good one. And he's one of my truck drivers. Tom, we're proud of you. Tom Renner, get up here. Don't overdo it, Tom. I mean, you know.
Well, you know I ain't going to be up here very long.
No, I mean, you don't have to do it. You walk better than that. You're bleeding the sympathy here.
That's right. I'm looking for sympathy here. I'm not going to try to say too much. I belong to two of the most distinctive groups in this world. I survived a mid-air airplane crash, and I belong to the Sarton methodology. And I don't know what else there is. Schmidt says he won't go anywhere with me because my luck ran out. So what I'm doing at the racetrack must be all from learning. But I'll just kind of echo what's his face back there said. Bruce, you know, we went to the track today and messed around a little bit. But I'll tell you, folks, you're in the right group, but it's a never-ending learning process. Every day you go, something else happens. So just like he said, you got to study hard, do the work. And if you don't do the work, don't call me. That's people's herd to wrath. And I'll help anyone that wants it, anytime they want it. But they got to do the work. So with all that said, thank you, Howard. I'll let you continue.
We'll hear from you more this week. I want to hear about your some of those things you were discussing with me.
Okay.
Tom Renner. How many of you are from the Midwest? That's interesting. Your planes aren't going to fly back. Did you know that all the airlines were booked?
I'll fly them back, Howard.
All the airlines are booked south through September 15th. But, I mean, how are we all going to get to where we were supposed to go? So you're lucky you got here. We're liable to have to cancel all the seminars for the rest of the year. Nobody can get there if they're all bought up. Maybe it'll ease and there'll be some of the smaller communities you can get to. But right now, Schmidt and Hamilton were trying to book flights to Florida and Philadelphia, and they said, "You got to be kidding, mister. Not till September 15th. So the East Coast won't have Schmidt and Hamilton to kick around unless they can find some way to get there. But you from the Midwest, I hope you know this next gentleman. He's going to tell us very briefly a phenomenal thing that happened between him and Tom Renner. Tom Renner wanted to go to Arlington, which this gentleman was very familiar with, and he wanted to have some be equipped. So here to tell you and reinforce the importance of a profile from the Midwest, Mr. Paul Caldwell.
Well, in keeping with the other speakers, I'll make it very short. But about 3 weeks ago, Tom Renner told me he was coming up to Jacksonville, Illinois, to a graduation, and he wanted to know what Arlington was running like. So we got together, called a couple different times, and we set him up with a profile. And he came up and played Arlington very successfully. And